in order to help us in our practice today, tomorrow, I want to kind of give a picture of how life is lived with, if we look at life with kind eyes, what the sort of change will happen to us in our life, daily life, which is coming up soon. Our daily life, what is life like from the place of metta compassion? And what actually happens is that because we're not in control of life, life brings us the unexpected all the time. Circumstances appear, nisibot, bli shlitava, bli she'anachnu lo metzapim. They happen every day, every minute. So how do we respond to the circumstances, nisibot, chayim, she'anachnu lo yodim, lo yodim mahem, ma yeh, b'kol rega? So our response to circumstances that we can't control will be that the heart will be engaged and the heart will respond. Just like everybody, if kind of we see a wounded animal, a cat, our cat arrives in our house with a leg like this, what do we do? What do we feel? Straight away, immediately, we will feel our heart is touched. Not a question. Or we see a blind man who is trying to cross the road. Immediately, every one of us here will help this person spontaneously, immediately. It's not thinking about it. That's that feeling in the heart of immediate response to the needs of others will be a heart of compassion. And it's we are extending it not just to the blind man crossing the road, but to seeing the pain of the shopkeeper who's working all day in the makolet, or the nahag autobus, the bus driver that is driving all day on the streets of Tel Aviv. So we extend that feeling of, in this case, compassion to everybody as much as we can. That's how we live our life. We get up in the morning and that's how we see people and we see circumstances. And we see ourselves. So we are wounded, little wounds, little problems, little issues. Oh, we can't do this, or we can do this, or it doesn't work, or frustration. This happens, this doesn't happen, we want this, we don't get it, we do get it. All the time, 1,000 times a day. So, Bemet, our heart is responding 1,000 times a day. Generally, our heart, the metta practice will make our heart more responding to situations. We will feel them more in the heart because it's instead of a kazeh masach, it's instead of anesthesia, hardamak ilu, instead of a wall between us and the world. So our heart will be vibrating. We will see the pain of somebody that otherwise we wouldn't notice. Or we will see the joy of a child in the street that otherwise we wouldn't notice. I have a small example. One time we were doing a peace walk in Wadi Ara, and there was like a lot of Dharma people, and we came to a place which was a kind of fun place for Arab kids. And there were lots of music and lots of kids shouting. Maybe 1,000 Arab school children were there playing, shouting, and then they had all kinds of projects. And some people came to me and said, "Oh, this is a terrible place. There's no silence here." And I was crying at the time. I had tears. And the tears was tears of mudita, of joy. The joy in me at the joy of Arab kids, that we don't usually see how much joy there is there in this group. And I said, you know, you got a wrong idea of Dharma. The Dharma is not shutting up and being quiet and being closed and being in yourself and being in the Dharma, holy Dharma. The Dharma is being with the joy of these children playing and their energy and their joy. Yes, there's noise, but be mudita, joy at the other's joy. So that's how we manifest. So it goes with mindfulness, exactly. So when we get up in the morning, we are aware and awake. And when we meet the circumstances of life, we let our heart talk and respond. We see joy, we feel joy. We see sadness, we feel compassion. We see a person, we just feel love and care. That's where it's going, this practice. And that's why we're practicing here. And that's the direction. We get a situation of conflict in our life. Someone argues with us. And we respond, yes, we say what we need to say. It's not just that we say, we give in, we give up, we do, oh, no, I'm... We respond. We take our place in the world. We stand our ground and say what we need to say. But we say it with the wisdom to see the other person and to see ourselves. And we say it with the heart to feel where the other person is at and feel ourselves. And then it changes the language that will come out of our mouth. Something will be changed. Maybe, hopefully, we will be more effective in life that way. So in this retreat today, keep going with the practice that you've been developing these days, because everyone will be doing something slightly different. And I trust that in these days you will be finding the practice that works for you, the phrases that work for you, how much phrases and how much silence or not without phrases, what kind of, what you choose. So it's okay, keep going with that because it's working with you. And basically, the basis is still presence, awareness. Without awareness, it doesn't really work. We need the awareness, but the awareness can be very simple. You don't need to struggle with mindfulness and metta and how they work together. Just a sense that being aware and being here and being present is good enough as mindfulness. It's just knowing what's going on, that's okay. We don't need to have a conflict between mindfulness and metta. Metta needs us to be mindful. Otherwise we don't know, we don't see the other, for example. But it's kind of basic mindfulness is going to be there, and we're in a retreat, it will happen by to some extent by itself. And then we can keep going with the track. The phrases to say, or the phrases and the silence and the sense of the heart to ourselves, to the benefactor, to a friend and to a stranger. We can keep going with that practice. And plenty of time that we really just be aware of what's in the heart. And then compassion kicks in, happens by itself, as soon as we meet difficulty, because it tends to be the first response, and we allow it and develop it. So when we hear a cry from inside, which can be a difficult thought, or it can be a memory, some meeting with suffering and pain. then we allow the shift that happens, the colour that happens to metta, to kindness, to a little bit like I said, with the wounded animal. We wish it to be better. We are naturally feeling ourselves with the pain, our pain or someone else's pain. It's really, people ask how to develop compassion, and it's actually not an easy practice. It's not something that's very clear to be practiced, that's kind of, there's an exact method. There are methods all over the place, like a Tibetan method of Tonglen, in which you breathe in the pain and suffering and you breathe out healing and light. So there are all kinds of methods, but I think we need to keep it simple and just to be touched in a way that's enough. That's the basis of compassion. We are touched. In English, it has quite a power, that word, to be touched. It's, in English, it really means exactly that, that something touches our heart, it vibrates in us, we feel touched. And we are with it, like as if it's a magnet. The pain and our response are like a magnet. They come together. So that's the basis of compassion, is our being with deeply pain and difficulty. And that's the basis, and it's not so important what we do with it, because we can trust that all of us, when we feel the pain of ourselves and other, we want to heal it. We want to, we wish to end it, to improve it, to end suffering. That's going to be in us anyway. So it's really the sense to be touched, to be open to the pain. In a way, it's enough as compassion. To be responding to the pain, to be feeling the pain of the other, it's enough. Just doing that, it will. And then how we are with it, everyone will be a bit different. But something today, I want to suggest a little bit more, that we open our we open ourselves to what's happening here. A little bit more we open, so that we are letting our heart respond with kindness or with compassion to things that happen to us today. Not just to the friend, you know, benefactor, etc., but also being, letting ourselves be triggered by what is happening, because it's like life. So we meet somebody and we feel metta to them. We see ants passing on the path and we feel metta or compassion or kindness to them, especially if we see a dead ant or we ourselves tread on an ant by accident. So it's enough, compassion. And we see a tree, we see Mother Earth, we can feel our relationship, our vibration. We are with, our heart is touched by Mother Earth. We have feelings and thoughts that arise in us. We've been doing this already. Kindness to our feelings and thoughts as they come. And if they're painful, memories come up, compassion to the memories that come up. So it's really opening out today a little bit more to whatever arises in our life in front of us. And so we can play with the different, we can play with the practice just like, you know, ordinary life. In ordinary life, if we practice metta, we could be practice metta in a more formal way in the morning, but then we get up and we go out in the street or we go to work, and then the practice of metta is informal. Is spontaneous. We see somebody and our heart is responding. So it's a bit like that today, that we have a formal practice, which can be in a meditation hall, it can be, and then we're walking and we see another, and we see what happens to our heart. We meet, we go to the kitchen, we eat something, we see others, and what is happening to our heart. We see the angels that made us food, what happens to our heart. There may be in the day still difficulty arises. We're in samsara. I don't know if you know the word samsara, but it's kind of the wheel of life. It's basically what happens when we're dropped into a body. That's samsara. What happens when we're dropped into a body? And we're all dropped into a body, whether we like it or we don't. No one asked us if we wanted to be born. So then because of that, there will be difficulties and pain will come up, and then during the day also, and we respond with compassion. The vibration of the heart, the sense of being with, the sense of our natural, automatic being with naturally togetherness, being touched. Anyone that wants to cry in the hall, completely fine, and it's a great contribution to the retreat. Because then all of us here in the hall can practice compassionate together. So anyone that feels like crying in the hall, yalla, do it. but I do think to a little bit remember the big picture as well, that compassion is something rather big. And we can feel that as we are compassionate to all beings who are born into a body, and it means a life that is quite full of struggle. And that's basically a ground state of compassion. Ground state, because they're default. Compassion to all beings that are born into a body and then have to somehow survive. And so there's a ground state of compassion, which I would say is at the background of our consciousness as a Dharma practitioner all the time. And so be aware a little bit. I don't know more than that to say. I won't say more than that, but it's just... And so to keep listening to the music of the heart, do have spaces, silent spaces, where you really listen to what the heart is telling us. Be aware, be open, let the heart sing its song. And stand back a little bit and say, what is the song of my heart right now? And it connects us to the life of the heart. Often so difficult in the Western civilization to really connect to the life of the heart. So just know that everything we're doing here is opening the language of the heart and beginning to listen to the language of the heart, to the music of the heart. Everything we're doing here is in that direction. And it's often a language we've forgotten, or we shut down, or there's pain in there, so we don't want to know about it. But this is the practice that we open that. And it's like sitting by the river and listening to the sound of music of the water. So the music of the heart is like that. So I just want to read a small quote that I just found. And it's from Thomas Merton, who's a Christian mystic. And he just stood on a street corner in America and said, I suddenly saw the secret beauty of everyone's heart, the depths of their hearts, where neither sin, nor desire, nor self could reach, the core of their reality, the person that each one is in God's eyes. If only they could all see themselves as they really are. If only we could see each other that way all the time. There'd be no more war, no more hatred, no more cruelty, no more greed. I suppose the big problem would be that we would all fall down and worship each other. So let's take a few moments of quiet.